Hi, everyone. Today we read from Mark chapter 1 for the gospel, and it is the third gospel in the Epiphany season, so it's from Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 14. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. So two things about this gospel today. First is the proclamation of Jesus, which echoes John's proclamation. So Jesus picks up where John leaves off because John's been arrested and put in prison. And so Jesus picks up his proclamation of the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. And he carries that on as the mission of his mission as he begins his ministry in that area of Israel. He begins with this proclamation that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So in other words, you've run out of time in the old system. The time that had been going on since creation, basically, since the fall, all of that time is over. The old time is over. The new time has come. And he says it's been fulfilled. So anything that was spoken of in that past time has now been fulfilled. And we learn later that it's fulfilled in Christ. And so the time is fulfilled. There's nothing else to do. The kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of God is at hand, and referring to himself. In other words, the time's done. I'm here. So now it's time to repent and believe in the gospel. Believe in me, and leave that old stuff behind and believe in me. The old system, the old sacrificial system, the old temple system, all of that stuff. He says that time is fulfilled and all of the prophecies are going to be fulfilled in me. So repent and believe in the gospel. And he carries that forward. Repent and believe in the gospel is the call. It's the proclamation. It's the one that you would even hear the guys standing on the street corner, repent, you know, the kingdom of God is at hand. They fail to leave out most often believe in the gospel, but that's a whole nother story. It's the call of the people of God to the people who are not of God, the people who are out there. We sometimes refer to them as the lost ones. I like to say they're pre-believers. You know, they just haven't come to believe yet. They haven't had the opportunity. And so the call is to repent of all of the old ways of life and believe in Jesus. So that's the call. Jesus then goes on to call four guys, four fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, all fishermen, all of the same community, all by the Sea of Galilee, all in Bethsaida, that area. And we heard last week of him talking with Philip and Nathaniel, and now here he's with the other four. And it's a simple call. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me, and you'll be catching people. Follow me, and you'll have a different job to do. Follow me, and you'll be telling people to repent and believe in the gospel. And that call, follow me. Go where I go, do what I do, say what I say, eat what I eat, sleep where I sleep. All of these things that last week we talked about, but this week sort of bring back around this idea of following Jesus. Doesn't mean simply, you know, we're, you know, walking behind him, but it's being with him and learning to be who he wants us to be, learning to be him in the sense, in the world, learning to be the proclaimers of the message, repent and believe in the gospel. That's the follow me that Jesus issues to the fishermen today. And that's still very much the follow me that he issues to us. He issues to us, follow me, and you get to be a proclaimer. Follow me, and you get to do these things. You get to speak the gospel. You get to forgive sins. You get to bring grace. You get to give mercy. You get to love people. You get to do all of these things. Follow me, Jesus says. And that's usually, that first initial follow me is usually where we sort of, in our day and age, put up our hands maybe a little bit and, slow it down there, Jesus. I'm not quite ready to follow you. I'm not quite ready to do the things you are asking me to do. I don't know that I'm prepared. I don't know that I'm trained enough. I should probably go here and get more learning, or I should probably go here and do these things before I embark on following you. And there's a problem with our hesitancy, because Jesus' call, it demands immediate response. Because when he does this later on in the gospel, he invites people to follow him, and there's the one person who says, I got things to do. Follow me. Well, I got a field to watch. Follow me. Well, I got this, you know, I got all of these goods and things I got to take care of. My attention's divided, in other words. Follow me, and I can't really give you everything, Jesus. I can give you a little bit. Might be able to follow you for a little while, but eventually I'm going to have to get back to doing the things that I usually do. So, you know, maybe I'll follow you this once, and we'll go on a mission trip, and I'll follow you for about 2 weeks down in Central America, and we'll build a school, or we'll help out with something, and then I'll come back from following you, and I'll just go back to my normal life, and I'll tell everybody how great it was. But that's about it. That's all you're going to get from me, Jesus. And not to say that mission trips aren't important, or mission trips aren't effective, or mission trips don't do stuff, but that's a lot of times the mentality that we take into those things is, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus wholeheartedly for 2 weeks. That's about it. And that's not what Jesus is asking. That's not what Jesus is inviting. That's not what Jesus is commanding. Jesus is having us follow him wholeheartedly, all in other words, not hedging our bets, not holding back a pile of our own, but following him with everything. The Gospel of Mark records it as the response of the fishermen is they drop their nets and follow him. And we don't know the whole process that went into it, but the James and John, it says they leave their father in the boat with the hired men, and then they go and follow Jesus. I mean, see ya, Dad. You take care of things. We're going to go follow Jesus. I mean, that's a pretty incredible response. Even though they had no idea what they were really getting into. They had no idea what they were going to face. And yet, follow me, okay, we're going to go. And they followed Jesus, and they had no idea that there would be towns that they enter into that they get run out on a rail. They had no idea that they were going to face some of the demon-possessed people that they were going to face. They had no idea that they were going to be traveling around with him for 3 years, and then they were going to face the persecution that they faced and the challenges that they faced after he died and rose again and ascended into heaven. Then they get to go out with Jesus, and then they're really persecuted, and most of them martyred in horrible ways. They had no idea. Those fishermen that day when they walked off of the lake and followed Jesus, they had no idea what they were getting into. And we, being wiser, being more enlightened than they are, we can say, well, I kind of know what I would be getting into. But do you really? Do you really know what you'd be getting into if you followed Jesus? My bet is you probably don't. You probably don't know what you'd be getting into if you follow Jesus. I know that when I'm trying to put the best words on it, when I started my time at seminary, I had no idea what I was getting into. I really didn't. Nothing had prepared me for following Jesus to the seminary. In fact, 9 times out of 10, if you'd asked me while I was there if I thought God had called me to do this, I'd say, heck no. I think God was crazy to ask me to do this stuff. No way. It's too hard. Seminary was really difficult, not academically as much as it was relationally. It challenged everything that I had sort of conceived in my head about what life was supposed to be like. I mean, it changed our marriage. It changed our relationships with our kids. It changed my relationships with all sorts of people. It really just sort of like twisted everything up. So if I had said to Jesus what I was thinking in my head, and that is, you're crazy, I'm not going, well, I probably wouldn't be here. But certainly things would be different. So we don't know what we're going to get into when we follow Jesus. And that can be scary for a lot of people, and that can cause them to hesitate, and that can cause them to say, no, I'm not going to do it, or that's just too hard for me, I'm going to go somewhere else, or I'm going to do my own thing. But following Jesus is more than just hardship. As I said before, following Jesus, being one of his disciples, being one of his children, being baptized into his family, following Jesus means that we have been given so much more that we can give, so much more that we can share, so much more than we can say. I mean, following Jesus is an incredible thing. It's a joy to follow Jesus. Is it always easy? Not a chance. Is it always something that I would say, well, let's everybody go? And no, it's hard. There's lots of sacrifices that need to be made. But I'm not going to stop following Jesus, no matter what. I'm not going to stop following Jesus even if the world comes down on us, which a lot of people think it's going to. I'm not going to stop following Jesus because of the joy that's involved. The joy in proclaiming forgiveness. The joy in administering and giving people the tangible forgiveness of the sacrament, the strengthening of faith. God has called me to do that. Me. I'm no Billy Graham or anybody who's high and mighty. He called me to do it. And he calls all of us to do something. Sometimes that's here. Sometimes that's in church. Sometimes that's out in the world. Sometimes it's at work. Sometimes it's in the family. He calls us to all sorts of things. In our prayers, in the service book, it says something about he has called us to adventures unknown or paths unknown or something along that lines. There's one of those wonderful prayers that we have been called to things we have no idea we've been called to do. But here's the beauty. Here's the beauty. God doesn't just say, here's the stuff. I'm going to wait here. Wait here while you go and do all of this stuff. And if something happens, well, you're on your own. He doesn't say that. The beauty of it is that God says, I'm going to go with you. Jesus says, follow me, not you go. He says, follow me. Come with me. I'm inviting you to go along on this journey of incredible gifts, incredible difficulty, and incredible blessing. I'm calling you into the Christian life. Into the life of following Jesus. That's what he says. And he says, I believe in so much of what I'm calling you to do. He says, I am with you every step of the way, no matter how hard it gets. And there's going to be times when you feel like giving up, when you, like Peter at the end of the Gospel of John, where he says, I'm going fishing. I'm quitting this business. I'm going to go fishing, and I'm going to go back to the way I used to live, in the places I used to be, in the life that is so familiar. I'm just going to give it all up and go back. But then Jesus shows up again and says, no, you follow me. There are sheep that need to be fed. There are people that need to hear the gospel. There are souls that need to be tended to and taken care of. You follow me and go and do that. You follow me as we do that. And Jesus puts his seal on it when he goes to the cross for us, and he takes all of that hesitancy, all of that I don't know, all of that shaking and all of that wondering and all of that doubt and everything, and he takes it all and he goes to the cross and he leaves it there on the cross, and then he comes back again. He dies 3 days later. He rises again and he shows up to the disciples and he says, follow me, even more, follow me. And as you go about in life, know that I am with you every step of the way, every day to the end of the age. That's the promise of Jesus. So I'll invite you to follow him. If you're not already a disciple, if you're not already one who is following Jesus, I invite you. Follow Jesus, or better yet, and I don't say this with boasting, but follow me. I'm just the guy who loves telling people about Jesus, and you can follow me. I don't know all of the routes. I don't know all of the roads. I don't know all of the paths, but we can walk together. We can learn together. We can grow together. We can follow Jesus together, arm in arm, walking side by side, or 6 feet apart with a mask on. I don't know. Follow me. Follow him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.